What's the right way to tell your CFI you don't understand something? Should student pilots trust the school-provided headsets or buy their own early? Learning aviation is way different, and it's as a new student, is it better to train 2 to 3 times a week or cram multiple lessons?
How do you stop overthinking while practicing landings? And the reason why I ask you this question is,
welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com. And let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we are no longer sick. Carson got me sick last time. No coughing.
I got you sick. I got Maddie sick.
Get everybody sick.
I'm usually not the carrier monkey.
You were this time. I am very happy that I am no longer sick. And I got a few days of vacation on my
I was proud of you.
My belt for this. I even tried to kind of detract myself from work a little bit for a few days.
I know. I couldn't get a hold of you.
I was still available on Slack every once in a while, but I told Kathleen just to kind of take over all of my messages, and she did. So nice. Thank you, Kathleen, for helping with that. Kathleen's my amazing EA, by the way. So today, Carson, besides being energetic and happy, and my voice is almost back, by the way. I don't know if anybody can
tell. Mine's still
a little raspy. Yeah. But it's almost back, and we're going to talk about one of our favorite episodes. We're going to do Reddit questions and listener questions.
I love these.
I do too. A lot. I do too. All right. Do you want to pick the first one? You want me to?
Yeah, I'll pick the first one. It's actually first on our list. I really like it a lot. Is it normal to feel like I'm regressing after a few good lessons?
No, not at all. Of course it's normal. it's very normal.
I was like, really? I did it all the time.
No, I mean, the problem is, let's just talk about landing, right? When you are coming into land and you have to learn where you have to flare or pull your power, things like that, you're going to get into this groove of doing things. And then you're going to start feeling really confident about doing those things. And then all of a sudden, you're going to just not feel confident anymore because you had one mess up. Or
the weather's a little different that day.
Yeah, or it gets more windy or things. Yeah, exactly. And you will regress. And I always tell people, you're going to take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And then you're going to take 3 steps forward and 3 steps back. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. And you're just always, the goal is to just continuously move forward. And I think that's not just in flight training. I think that's in life. You need to make sure that you understand what you're doing in life and keep on moving yourself forward. And flight training is no different.
Oh, I agree. And I think you have to understand you're learning aviation, which is a language. And there's so many different parts of it. It's hard to remember all of it at once. You're coming into land. It's hard to remember pitch for airspeed, power for altitude. And then also remember cockpit management and make sure your gear's down. You have to make sure your fuel is set, make sure your trim is set. And the whole time you actually have to land the plane. There's a lot going on. And until you do it a few hundred times, it's still fresh and still new. And there's still, you might find a groove, but you're not in the groove, the one you're going to be in for the rest of your career. So
that's true.
It takes time.
And I think we can go with a new question, actually, that goes with the same thing. And I'll give this one to you, Carson. How do you stop overthinking while practicing landings? And the reason why I ask you this question is, I don't think I overthink anymore. I think that after I don't go fly for a month, I'm like, do I really know how to fly an airplane? And then I get in the airplane, I'm like, oh yeah, of course I know how to fly an airplane. So I don't overthink my landings ever anymore. And it's been a very long time since I have, but I'm sure you still feel that way, especially after we did your BFR. So how do you feel about this?
I think when you're coming into land, you either have a good landing or it's not your problem.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. God's problem at that point.
It's God's problem at that point.
Or the flight school's problem because the airplane's messed up.
Yeah, I heard someone say they when they take off, they say, well, it's between me, God, and ATC to get me back down.
Wow. No, please don't have that philosophy.
No, please don't. honestly, I think the biggest thing is having the confidence. You're going to be overthinking your practice landings for the first couple hundred. But you have to be confident in what you do well and remember what you do well. And you have to focus on that. You're going to get in that groove, but until then, you're going to keep overthinking, because once the groove comes, you're fine. You know, you have that fly by the seat of your pants, and you know if you need a little bit more left or right rudder, just naturally. It becomes an instinct, but you're developing the instinct. And until then, tough luck. It's gonna suck for a while, and everyone goes through it. You're, like I said, you're learning a new language. So,
yeah, don't overthink. Just think about it. Just one step at a time. It's like a checklist in your head. That's what I like to think about.
You have to overthink for the first few.
Yeah.
A few hundred. Yeah, you do. The next question, should student pilots trust the school-provided headsets or buy their own early?
Do you have an opinion on this?
I have a strong opinion on this. Yeah. I used David Clark's for my first few flight lessons, and I think everyone has the same story. They're great. They're solid. They will last 100 years, but they hurt. They cramp and clamp on your ears, and it's just not fun. And then you try a Bose or a Lightspeed headset one time, and you see the world difference and think, wow, this is a great investment I should make, and it's going to last you for a long time. And that's what happened to me. I tried the Bose A20, and I told my dad, I was like, hey, Dad, you know, for Christmas and my birthday this year and for Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, I would like a Bose A20.
And did you get one?
I did. And he was like, this is all I'm putting towards your flight training. This is crazy. but yeah, getting a Bose A20 was game changing. And
you had to tell him it was only three or four flights worth.
Yeah.
You had to do 100 of them.
Yeah. It's a big difference. But the school provided headsets, especially if you're on a budget, they do the job. And they're going to do the job just fine. Every headset has the same functions, but having the active noise canceling and the extra features of the nicer headsets, it's a good investment. It's worth it.
I think it's a great investment. When I first started, I didn't use the headset of my flight school. I also didn't.
Well, you're a germaphobe, right?
I am a germaphobe. That is correct. Yeah. Yeah. If anybody doesn't know me listening on this podcast, I used hand sanitizer before it was cool in 2020. Literally, it's been in my car for years, and I probably use it way more than I should, even though my hands are clean and they're not all cracking and anything like that. So I guess whatever I'm doing works.
Yeah. You still have soft, girly hands.
I have soft hands. Yes, I do have soft hands. So yeah, I am kind of a germaphobe. I wash them repetitively throughout the day. I got here and I washed them right when I came in.
So is that why you didn't use the headsets from the school right away?
Partially. Second reason actually was my grandfather's headset is kind of what got me into aviation. So if you've listened to the episode very far back on how I got into learning how to fly, it was me finding my grandfather's headset and his logbook. And that was kind of a catalyst to me learning how to fly and giving me an aviation career kind of that jump start. So with that being said, I found that headset, and even though the headset was from the 80s, early 90s, I decided to use that headset because I knew it was his. And I used that headset until I got my private pilot.
That's cool.
And it was really special. And then after that, I have never used it ever again. And there's a solid reason why I never used that headset ever again. It's because it had no active noise canceling, and
you need the next generation.
30 to 40 years old.
But probably. It still worked, which proves my point from earlier, is that the old headsets will last a lifetime.
It was, and it wasn't even a name brand one that I would even recognize anymore.
Yeah.
There was something cool about that headset, though, that I really liked. So you have a push-to-talk, obviously, either on the control wheel or on the panel or whatever it was. Well, every once in a while, those push-to-talk buttons, they go out.
They go out all the time.
They do, because people are using them constantly, right? And they're just little buttons with a spring on them usually. Well, on that headset, I had a little button on my headset on the left side or the right side. I can't remember. But it was a little red button. If you hold it, it was a push-to-talk on your headset.
That's pretty cool.
It was really cool. So I actually used that a couple times.
That's cool. And reliable, I'm sure.
It was very reliable because you never used it.
That's a feature they need to bring back.
Yeah, I kind of like that feature.
That's awesome. Yeah. You feel like an FBI agent, you just kind of finger on the ear.
Yeah. So I use that headset for a long time, and I have used the rental headsets that I thoroughly clean with paper towels and hand sanitizer if they don't have spray, Lysol spray, which they should. They should be Lysoling those after and wiping them down, and if they aren't, that's disgusting. Make sure you tell them to do so, please.
I wonder you were so bitter I got you sick.
I know. Yeah, I don't like getting sick, and I like staying clean.
Well, talking about staying clean and what you like, Let's talk about what the CFI likes.
Well, CFI likes nice headsets like what I liked and why I have the Lightspeed.
I know, and I have the 820.
Yeah, yeah. Lightspeed is
numero. We all have our own opinions, but Lightspeed is pretty great. I mean, I've tried them all. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I just happen to find Bose.
And first. Lightspeed supports Stratus.
They do.
And they will be at Aero Summit this year.
Good thing I say nice things about them.
Good thing you say nice things. Mm-hmm,
Yeah, it's hard not to. They do a great job with them.
They really do.
The next question is, what's the right way to tell your CFI you don't understand something? And I think this all comes down to communication, which every human has to work on a lot, especially with all the different types of people. And I think it also goes back to picking your instructor in the first place.
I think a lot of people are afraid to tell their CFI they don't understand something.
Which is silly because you're paying this person $50 to $80 an hour to teach you.
Or so more.
Less if they're a friend. Hopefully.
Maybe.
But you're paying a lot of money for this person to teach you how to fly. And if you're not going to be confident in getting your money's worth and communicating the right way, you're going to end up wasting money down the line.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
So I have a story about this, actually, Carson.
Did someone tell you that they couldn't understand you?
Kind of. No, it wasn't that. It was way different, actually. Everyone uses the artificial horizon or their attitude indicator, right? Well, on the attitude indicator, these lines right here, I had no idea what they meant. I did not know that they actually meant degrees.
You think they're there for fun?
I had no idea why. And I was too afraid because I was already a private pilot.
I've had that.
Already a private pilot. I had no idea.
I've had plenty of moments where I'm like, it's too late to ask this.
And I think that happens way more often than we would like to know, right?
Well, I'm a big proponent of AI because I use it so much. So a lot of these questions that I'm like, oh, it's too late to ask. I should have known this already. I have no problem asking AI, and it can explain them pretty well. Good prompt is just act like you're my CFI and explain this to me. You can break it down.
Carson is an expert on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what did you do about it?
I didn't have AI, so I couldn't check.
So you went to the FISDO and you...
Oh, yeah, I went to the FISDO. I was like, by the way, I already have my private pilot certificate.
And I don't know what this means.
And I don't know what these marks mean in the airplane.
One of the core instruments in a six-pack, yeah.
I had to finally get real comfortable with my CFII when I was learning instrument training.
You waited till your CFII?
I had to work with the CFII who was training me, Carson.
I was like, man, you got through like 4 DPEs that just didn't even question it.
No. If you want to learn instrument, you're going to have to understand these things, right?
But you're working with your II.
I was working with my II, and I finally got to the point where I felt comfortable. And the problem was I was also that person's boss, so I really felt uncomfortable because I own the flight school. And so it made me even feel even worse. So long story long, if you have a question, don't wait till later because it gets much worse. you're going to get further along in your training. They're going to be like, are you an idiot? Why don't you know this already? And honestly, they didn't call me an idiot or say anything like that. They had the same philosophy as I had. There are no dumb questions. The fact that I got that far without knowing them was pretty impressive. So I'm really happy about that. And by the way, they either mean 5 or 10 degrees, depending on if they're longer or shorter lines or pitch up, pitch down, or even the bank. They usually represent 10, 20, 30, and then they skip and they mean 45 degrees. And then eventually you hit 60. So it goes 10, 20, 30, 45, then 60.
I think you have to have a parachute after 60, right?
I believe so. I don't know.
There's some funky rule that I remembered. You know, I loved working at the flight school because I always got this random tidbits of information that people usually wouldn't pick up on. And we were discussing that there's a certain degree of bank angle that you need a parachute on. Brandon, do you remember what it is?
Yeah, it's a 60-degree bank angle or over 30 degrees nose up or nose down attitude, except when you are working on spins.
I was just about to ask about spins.
Except
I was
like, working on spins.
That's cool. That's, I like little facts.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you're doing spin training for CFI or commercial, it's what it really kind of breaks down to.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Where would I get a parachute?
To be honest, I have no idea where you'd buy a parachute. I'm assuming you'd parachute company.
Parachute.com. Someone has to own it.
I bet you parachute.com is a thing. And guess what? It actually came up as like a French website or something. I don't know. I already exited it, so I have no idea.
That was Spanish, my friend.
Spanish?
Yep.
Okay. Parachute.com goes to parachutehealth.com. So
dang, not a parachute company.
Not a parachute
company. So we still don't know where to get a parachute.
We don't. Joinparachute.com is something else.
Well, you know, it's probably good. If too many pilots have parachutes, we might have more incidents of people jumping out of perfectly good airplanes. And who was that guy? Remember him?
Oh, yeah. That
idiot.
Influencer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Influenced himself out of a license. Yeah.
Exactly. For the rest of his life. Actually, I heard he got it back. Private back.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Oh, man. Anyway.
All right. So enough of our tangents talking about parachutes and things that we don't, that we should have known.
Question. Yeah.
No, the original question was about things that we don't, that we're kind of afraid to ask and doesn't have to be.
Well, there's one thing that a lot of students were not afraid to ask because they all had pretty much the same mentality on it. Like it was studying for any test, but learning aviation is way different. And it's as a new student, is it better to train 2 to 3 times a week or cram multiple lessons? And if you study for any test like Brandon does, he just crams.
I do, and then I fail my writtens.
Exactly. So 2 or 3 days a week is best. This is, I had this whole thing down when I was talking to new students daily at the flight school. And the more you train, the lower your cost is going to be because it's all going to stay fresh. But there's also the other side. You can't go too much or you're just going to burn yourself out so fast. And 2 or 3 days a week, 4 if you're a little bit extra, has been a really good rhythm for most people. It worked well for me. Brandon, you recommend it highly. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So I think it depends on what level of training you're at. If you're working on your private pilot or you're working on your sport pilot certificate, because of Mosaic, I would say fly 2 to 3 times a week and study 15 to 30 minutes a day. That will give you the best setup for you to go get your private or whatever you're working on. But if you're working something like instrument training or commercial pilot, especially, fly as much as you can, because at time building, you just need to go fly and you need that experience.
It's not at the point where it's so new, it'll burn you out to fly all the time. Mm-hmm. And just remember to keep it enjoyable. I think that's the biggest thing to stay away from burnout, is remembering why it's enjoyable. Brandon, you have that all the time.
Yeah. I mean,
you get burnt out, you don't fly for a couple months, then you go make it enjoyable. You go splash around the icon.
Exactly. You know what? I need to go splash around again because I am out of seaplane currency.
There's a funny joke there somewhere. Seaplane currency, like sand dollars.
Carson, I'm glad you're not a comedian.
Oh, I think I'm just tired.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to call it a day after this. We're going to have one more of these episodes out next week on these listener questions. They're fun to talk about. They give us lots of insight. And I think our listeners like them as well. If you don't like it, just go ahead and comment below. Say how much you hate us. It gets us more likes anyway, so we really appreciate it.
Oh, man. We had one reel with a bunch of negative comments on it.
Oh, it was so awesome.
And I was just like,
we had 1.2 million views on that.
I was like, oh, man, I hate this. And I was telling Brandon, I was like, dude, this, I don't like it. Like, we must have done something wrong. He was like, no. Keep it up. And then it got like 1.2 million views. And that shot us up from, I think, 10,000 to almost like 10,500, something like
12,000, whatever it was.
We got like a ton of followers after that one because people were like fighting it out and defending us and picking on us in the comments. It was fun to watch.
It was great. I loved it. With that being said, I hope everybody had a great, happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was yesterday, if you're listening to it today. We're releasing this only 2 days after.
Yeah, normally we're leaving a message from the past to the future. So exactly. In that case, happy Black Friday, everyone. Go get the deals.
Go get all the deals. And
Cyber Monday is in a couple days, mm-hmm. if you like that more.
Exactly. That's a true story. I will not go to a store for the entire month of December. Actually, I don't know if I've gone to the store for the entire year.
I remember a couple of years ago when the PS5 came out, you were like, I'll give you $50 if you can score me one, because it was so hard to get them.
Did you?
And that's, I didn't. I was like, that was before I knew how to use AI. I could do it now.
Ah, I see.
But I remember I was like, man, this is such a nightmare, like trying to go in person. And I went the online route instead. I was like, oh, this is so much better. I'm going to start shopping online instead. Mm-hmm. And now I never go anywhere on Black Friday.
Exactly.
There's I no just take my food coma.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're hearing this, we're in food comas now. And hope you are too.
Well, I'm looking forward to that Icon flight. It's going to be a blast coming back from Oxnard and going to Oxnard and back. Maybe I do a little splashy splash on the way there or way back. I don't know. We'll see. Kind of depends on my availability and if my actual currency is actually gone or not. I have to double check. I think it's close though. But outside of that, thank you all for listening today. We really, really appreciate it. You're going to get to hear more of these listener questions next week if you like them a lot. We're going to try to come up with some new questions. Actually, we've got them already written up, and there's like 100 of them. So we've just been picking some off the top page. We'll have to go through page, I don't know, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, you didn't see how many there were?
Oh, there's a lot. There are a lot. But if you'd like to reach out to us, reach us out on our emails, Brandon@aviationmentors.com, Carson@aviationmentors.com, or where we prefer on LinkedIn. I just got like 4 new requests last week. So I know that some of you are listening to us and going on there and adding us on LinkedIn. So thank you very, very much. Also, don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, and repost on all the different social medias, on Apple, on Spotify, or if you're watching us on YouTube. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening to us. It's a huge part of helping us grow the podcast and, of course, help grow the aviation community at large. Really appreciate you.
I think you did that all in one breath. Good job.
I did. I didn't even read it.
Wow, I'm impressed. And I hope you guys are too. So thank you, everyone. And that was a wrap up for the day. Remember, I'm here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.